Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. We're joined today by Michael Wolf. Michael is kind enough to catch up with us via his vantage point live at 2017 CES. Michael Wolf is a writer, host of the Smart Home Show, the Smart Kitchen Show, proprietor of the technology.fm web portal of like-minded technologists, proprietor of the spoon.tech, a site with daily analysis and reporting about the smart kitchen and the food tech revolution, including personalized nutrition. Mike is also the founder of the annual event, the Smart Kitchen Summit. That's at smartkitchensummit.com, which, from the website, is the leading event dedicated to exploring the intersection of tech, food, design, and commerce in the connected kitchen. Mike is covering 2017 CES live from Las Vegas, featuring the latest in consumer electronics, connected cars, sports tech, and more from the gathering of companies, tiny and gigantic, all showing their products, especially those in the smart home, smart kitchen space, and of particular interest to the Not Old Better Show audience. Via Skype, as he navigates the massive crowds at CES 2017 Live, I want to welcome Michael Wolf to the Not Old Better Show. Well, Mike, so great to talk to you. Michael Wolf is covering 2017 CES live from Las Vegas. And this is the big hot show for consumer electronics, for connected cars, for sports tech, for all kinds of great products from companies that are tiny and gigantic. And Mike, I just want to say welcome. It's great to talk to you again. But I know of you from your Smart Home Show and other places too. But tell us a little bit about what you're seeing there at CES around smart home, and kind of give us a distinction of what smart home is versus this broader category of the Internet of Things.
Sure, and great to be on your show, Paul. It's really, I almost have told someone, I've told some people here that we've reached peak smart home, and that there are so many smart home devices, and you know, lots and lots of startups as well as big companies. You know, for the last few years, the smart home has evolved to, and you've seen some high profile flameouts where some companies who have been in the smart home had pretty good market share, ultimately didn't do very well. Then you've also seen some very eye-popping successes like the Amazon Alexa and Echo, which kind of came out of nowhere and has largely kind of become like almost the company and the initiative that everyone else is looking at as the leader in the space. When you look at smart home versus the broader Internet of Things, which is Internet of Things is becoming almost a buzzword that's, I don't want to say meaningless, but it's so prolific. It's almost like cloud computing was a few years ago, where it just meant a lot of different things. The way I see the smart home differentiating or as part of the Internet of Things, it's really around the consumer home and all those things in which we can, all those ways we can use sensors, automation, and connectivity to do things like make our lives easier through automation and routines, through things like voice interfaces, through things like aging in place and more modern smart security types of applications. There's, you can just, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, home automation meant fairly expensive or fairly technical and often not user-friendly technology to do things like raise your shades and turn your lights on. But you know, over the last 10 years, we've really seen the technology become more approachable and more consumer friendly. And now we've seen almost every large company in the technology space develop strategies to get into the home and use smart home technology as part of their products or to integrate with smart home technology.
It does seem to have a real relevance to this aging in place, 55 plus age kind of community. And certainly I'm interested in from that perspective. It does seem to really bridge this this distance, a geographic distance that families can often have. I mean, I live here on the East Coast. My parents live on the West Coast. Sometimes there's more than just a geographic gap between us, but the smart home all of that automation and all of that technology can actually bring people together a little bit.
Yeah, I think one of the things that smart home technology does when it's put in the context of being used to make life better for someone who's aging is it can, like you said, shorten distances. It's also a more modern technology approach than oftentimes you've seen around traditional personal emergency response. So the old, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Right.
That's, you know, we're all familiar with those types of technologies, or you can't even call it, it's hard to call it technology because it seems so antiquated at this point. But nowadays we're seeing companies say, hey, with all this modern sensors, wearables, and technology around the smart home, let's reinvent it how we can take care of seniors and extend their lives, make it more livable and more comfortable into a later stage of life. We're kind of facing a crisis in the U.S. really, I think, from a I think an elder care perspective, because we don't have the capacity as the baby boomers age to put them all in homes. And all of the people who are aging and may at some point want to may be put in a home by their family or of their own accord, they may want to stay in their homes longer. And the good thing about this type of technology is it allows you, and if it's done well, and I think it's going to get done better over time, to stay in your home longer than you would have been able to without it.
Many in, you know, my generation and older, certainly my parents' generation, they don't necessarily want to leave their homes. They want to be able to age in place because that's a comfortable place for them to be. So you're there at CES 2017. Any vendors that are really catching your eye, jumping out at you in this category of the smart home and the smart kitchen? I pay attention to your Twitter account, and I noticed you talking about the smart kettle. So maybe go from smart home to smart kitchen and tell us a little bit about what
sure.
some of the products are that are really jumping out at.
I was just down at the Bosch booth, and so that's really fresh in my memory. And the first thing I saw when I walked up was a robotic arm taking people's orders. People were communicating with this robotic arm by signing their name on like this surface, their finger. The robotic arm would read it and then also know what their order was. And then the robotic arm would go and make coffee. It's kind of science fiction-y, kind of gadgety, but it's just interesting to see how a big kind of multinational conglomerate like Bosch is really seeing robotics over time being important, both, you know, in the enterprise as well as the home space. Then I walked over to their appliance section, and they have had a number of smart stoves and ranges and types of connected kitchen devices, and they were showing me their app and how they can interface with all these things, turn them on, turn them off. And then I looked at this wall that had all their partners, whether it's Amazon Dash or HelloFresh. So you might be able to say, I want to order something through HelloFresh, which is one of these online food delivery services. Mm-hmm. And then you can then have that delivered to your home, and the food order can then, that information can go to your oven and it knows how to cook it. So there's all these different devices and services that are related to them are starting to kind of communicate with each other through, you know, to use technical jargon, what we call APIs. Mm. And over time, it'll make it more interesting and maybe more seamless to create food. You know, the kitchen and CES has almost become, you know, going back like 15 years, if you remember, like they've been talking about like internet refrigerators for so long now.
Right.
But like we're moving past that and actually seeing fairly useful technology, I think, come into the kitchen to make our lives better, to help us cook, and just monitor our health and nutrition better. So it's an exciting time.
Specifically, because, yeah, we probably, many of us do remember what was all often referred to as kind of the refrigerator of the internet. But talk us through the smart kettle. What is that doing for us that we need?
So that was a company based out of the UK, and this was a gentleman who he wanted to somehow find a way to make the most advanced kettle and add connectivity. And so he made a really advanced kettle with connectivity. Now you can kind of start your brew on an app. You can monitor where it's going. You could want to add another half an hour. It's just this connected kettle. You know, it'll be interesting to see if devices like that are found useful by consumers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in technology that can understand the food better. There's a company called Tefuria that's making a connected tea maker that actually allows you to adjust the flavor notes, do things like turn the amount of antioxidants up or down, all through technology. So you can actually affect the food you're consuming through technology based on your own dietary needs. That stuff, type of stuff is really exciting to me. There's another company called Habit here that announced, they basically launched a company. They announced personalized nutrition food delivery where you can, you take a little test, they take a blood sample of your of yours, and just kind of understand your genetic, your kind of dietary makeup and, you know, how you eat. And then they'll create customized meal delivery services. You your listeners probably, or maybe have, has heard of things like Blue Apron, these mm-hmm. food delivery services. Mm-hmm. Well, this company is basically trying to customize that based on, you know, your nutrition needs, your health needs, etc., and also your preferences. You know, what you, what type of food do you like? So there's just all sorts of interesting ways in which technology is allowing to understand food better. There's another company out of Israel, just to mention one more, that I've been following for a couple of years, and they finally announced at CES that they're going to be shipping their food scanner. It's a company called Scio, S-C-I-O. That's the name of the product. And it's a basically a infrared food scanner that you, so you can hold in your hand. It'll read the, you can scan a piece of fruit, for example, or bread, and it'll tell you the type of food it is, and also what the caloric content could be. So there's also, it sounds very science fiction, but there's some really interesting technology coming out right now.
Yeah, that does sound very interesting, especially when you start to think of how the back end piece that could be connected that would act almost as a monitor for blood sugar or could give you readings on certain health conditions that you might, you know, someone with celiac and you're gluten sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, one of the companies that came out to my event, I have an event called the Smart Kitchen Summit, was called NEMA, and they made this gluten sensor. So it's a handheld gluten sensor. And we, as we all know nowadays in kind of the modern society, you know, we have a lot more and better information about food allergies. Mm-hmm. You know, 20 years ago, people were just sickly. Now we know that they probably just had a gluten allergy or maybe they had a wheat allergy. The good thing about living in today's world is there actually are people trying to create technology to help us live better and understand the food. So there's this food sensor called NEMA can scan the food and tell you whether or not there's gluten in there. Because as we know, if we go to a restaurant and we ask if they have gluten in the food, they may say they don't. But if you're hypersensitive to that type of thing, there may be traces of it.
Yeah.
With interaction of surfaces or cutting devices. So mm-hmm. That's really exciting to me, that the types of like personal sensors that can help us with our dietary restrictions, our special needs. And I think as you get older, I think that becomes really important. If you're diabetic, you have a heart condition, you're really hyper allergic to something. If you can use this technology to allow yourself to not get sick or have like an allergic reaction, I think that's really pretty interesting. I mean, we're seeing all sorts of traditional, expensive, and proprietary ways of doing things fall to the technology. And whether that's, you know, 3D printing and kind of additive manufacturing that's allowing that to happen, or a new kind of low-cost, technology is taking advantage of Moore's Law and bringing down the cost of the intelligence through advances in semiconductor technology. You know, in my space, the broader smart home, we've seen the disruption of the home security market. You know, a lot of people in their 50s and 60s and 70s like to have paid home security. They feel more comfortable, but they're paying $50 or $60 a month. And those are types of services that require a 2-year contract and installation. And nowadays, there's really fairly robust, high-quality, self-installable security you could buy for less than $100 that almost is equivalent to what you might get from like an ADT or something like that. But mm-hmm. it's just an example of very different areas. We're seeing advances in technology bring costs way, way down and making them more, you know, more democratically available for a lot more people.
I think this is all really just an interesting time. Well, we're with Mike Wolf, and then Mike, you just mentioned your Smart Kitchen show. Tell us again what the name of that is.
Yeah, so I have a summit. It's called the Smart Kitchen Summit. It's all about the future of cooking the food in the kitchen. It's an event that we've just had our second year of. We had folks like Nathan Myhrvold, who is mm-hmm. the author of Modernist Cuisine. He was a speaker there. We had the head of Alexa, Smart Homes effort for Amazon.com, Charlie Kindle, and just people getting together to talk about what is the most important room in our house, and the things that go on there in terms of food creation will change as technology advances forward. So we've also launched a side or an editorial site called The Spoon. You could find that at thespoon.tech, where we are covering on a daily basis news around this exciting area. So, you know, we think with our event and the editorial site, we're really excited about covering the space and bringing the community together.
We'll definitely put up links to some of that. We'd love to have you come back and talk a little bit more about it as you start to get closer to your next show. I just really have one kind of final question, because I know you're busy out there at CES and in Las Vegas, and it really has to do with something you've mentioned already, and that's Amazon's Alexa. Amazon announced that they believe that there will be an Amazon Alexa skill for everyone and for everything. I wonder, have you heard that? What do you think that means, and how can that get translated into 55 plus age community?
Well, for people who don't know what Alexa skills are, it's basically the Alexa device you have in your house, which is probably an Amazon Echo, the speaker that you say, "Hey Alexa, turn on the radio, play Pandora," or whatever. It's a voice interface that allows you to just ask for things without pressing buttons or whatever. This is a technology created by Amazon, and what they've done is created skills which are like almost like applications that work with very specific devices. So if I'm someone who like has a light, like Philips, or if I'm someone who has like a door, I can work with Amazon and write a skill that says, "Hey Alexa, turn on my Philips Hue light," or "Hey Alexa, lock my door." I think in middle of the year they have 3,000 of these. I think they just announced now they have 7,000, over 7,000. So they're growing at an exponential rate. And, you know, I haven't really taken time to study that quote and to understand it, but I do know that lots of companies who make all sorts of products want to develop Alexa skills, because the Amazon Echo is becoming very, very popular. There's, closing in on 10 million households that have them. And it's a, when you look at how that applies to people who are 55 or older, it's very intuitive to use your voice. We've been doing it our whole lives. Right. Touchscreens or different ways of interacting with technology may confound people. Like my mom doesn't use a touchscreen. She doesn't want to use a touchscreen, a smartphone. But I think she'd probably be able to say, "Hey, turn on the lights."
Yeah.
So I think it's just another way to easily access things. If you were someone who has lower mobility, you can't get to something, you might be able to talk. You might be able to say, "Hey, I want to turn off the lights or lock the door." So I think it's very applicable to people who are aging, because most of us know how to use our voice and ask for things. And I think as this technology becomes more advanced, we can use it in our lives as we get older.
That's really interesting.
If this, then that does. It fuses different services, like online services, like Pandora even. Like I have online music, and I'm able to say, "Hey, every time someone comes to my door, I want to play Van Halen." Like you can do crazy stuff like that. Yeah, it becomes fairly exponential in terms of the combinations you can do once you start to have these bridging services to combine something like Alexa with all these different services. So it's an interesting time.
It certainly is. And Michael Wolf has joined us today from CES in Las Vegas, CES 2017. Yeah, I could talk to you for a long time, especially about music. I know you're a big fan of the Sonos audio technology. We'll save that for another day, but I'm sure there's lots of changes on that front too. But Michael Wolf, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
That was a lot of fun. My thanks again to Michael Wolf. I've known Michael for several years, and I'm grateful for his willingness to jump in here and provide his expertise and insights into CES 2017. Mike, your being there at CES takes my audience there too. Thank you very much. Remember, you can find Mike in his role as market analyst, startup and big company strategist, podcaster, and writer on the Smart Home Show and the Smart Kitchen Show. Mike is a contributor at Forbes magazine, and Mike is the proprietor, in his words, of a loosely affiliated podcast collective. Network is too strong a word, called technology.fm. Mike's company created the first and only annual event exploring the intersection of tech, food, design, and commerce in the connected kitchen called the Smart Kitchen Summit. That's it, smartkitchensummit.com. And thespoon.tech, with daily analysis and reporting about the smart kitchen and the food tech revolution, including personalized nutrition. Lots of great stuff there. We'll have links of course, to everything, just as usual. But my thanks to you, too, the listeners, for joining me and Mike today. Your time's valuable, and I'm grateful for your spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notoldbetter.com. And you can find me on Voxer at notoldbetter, where you can easily leave a voice text, which, with your permission, I can play here on the show. Once again, thank you for all the support of the Not Old Better Show being selected as Podcast of the Month, September, October, November, and December 2016. We are off to a great start in 2017. So please vote us up there again at podcastland.com. I'll put links to that for you as well. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we follow the company SpaceX and its Falcon 9 rocket launch later this week in California. This is another important return to flight for SpaceX, as the company must fly again soon and then often. You remember in September 2016, during Falcon 9 pre-launch engine test, a problem with the refueling process led to an explosion, which destroyed the launch vehicle and its satellite payload. So Elon Musk said, gotta get SpaceX back up quick. Lots riding on this one. And it's another exclusive for the Not Old Better Show. You won't want to miss it. It is the return to flight of Falcon 9. So remember all the contact information and feedback from the ideas at info@notoldbetter.com, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, all those places. Thanks, everybody.